Now, I have talked enough, and I'm going to ask Mrs. King if she will come along and give us God's word. And we give you a very warm Ulster welcome.
Good night, ladies. It's indeed a joy and a privilege to be here. You know, when my husband told me, "Ruby, we are invited to come to Northern Ireland," I said, "Me? No way. No way." And then I told him, "No, you know," but I started to pray. I said, "Lord, if you want me to go there, then give me peace in my heart about going to Northern Ireland." Anyway, I prayed, and still I was in doubt. Then my youngest daughter came to me and said, "Mommy, you must go with Daddy, because there are many people who come to this island. Some of them are unable to walk. Some of them are on a wheelchair. And they come and they have a good time. You're not in a wheelchair. You're in a right frame of mind. Go ahead with Daddy." And so I decided to come. Well, I am so elated to be here. The joy in my heart, I cannot express it in words. When I came here and they put me up in a hotel, wow, I've never experienced being in a hotel, but I thank God for the opportunity. God is indeed a good God. I love Him. I've been a Christian now for 43 years. I trusted the Lord as my personal Savior, and I will keep on trusting Him until the day He calls me home. I thank Sister Paisley and her husband. They have made it possible for us to be here. I thank you people like Brother Tommy and his wife, people who has helped us, and even, what's her name again? Salome? No, Joanna. I don't know if Joanna is here right now, but they have all contributed in giving me garments so that I can be warm. Because, you know, I come from all the way Antigua, and Antigua is hot all the time. It's warm, warm. Because when I left there, we will have to put on fans in order to get some breeze. Otherwise, we will not be able to stay in the house. And if you go outside, it is so sunny that you have to run back inside the house. So I thank God for the privilege and the hospitality and the friendship. Oh, I thank God for you people. Continue to pray for me. Let's pray. My Father, I give you thanks for this opportunity that you have given me to speak to these ladies. Lord, you know I'm weak. Lord, you know I'm frail. But we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. Bless this meeting, and may this little talk be a blessing to the lives of these ladies. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now let me introduce myself. My name is Ruby King, and I am from the island of Trinidad and Tobago, but presently resided in Antigua because my husband is Antiguan. I will in my talk today, I'm going to tell you how we became man and wife. Okay, right. Now, I'm not a great speaker, but I love speaking mostly to children. I've been a Sunday school teacher ever since I was the age of 17. I give my life to Jesus, and it's Sunday school mostly. I am free, you know, to tell the boys and girls about Jesus. Well, I'll give you my testimony first, how I got saved. As a little girl, I was brought up in a so-called Christian home. My parents were not converted. They were Presbyterian. In fact, my mother was a Hindu. But when she came, when my father and her got married, she automatically became a Presbyterian. You know, the Presbyterian in in Trinidad is much more different than here. They don't preach the gospel. They don't preach that you need to be saved. You need to be born again. No. So I attended the Presbyterian church for a very long time. In fact, I was searching for God. As a little girl, there was a yearning in my heart for God. I would read my Bible, 7 Psalms every night before I went to sleep. I would witness to others. I would do good things. I'll be obedient to my parents. I would even ask questions. One day, I went to my grandmother and I said to her, I said, when people die, where do they go? She said, well, life continue. You go under the earth and you have life to be continued right there. So a little girl of 12 years, not knowing anything, but there was this yearning desire in my heart to know God in a personal way. One day, I went to my auntie's home and I said to her, I heard, I'm hearing about sin, sin, sin. What is sin? When does sin enter into a person's life? She told me, well, when you reach the age of 14, then sin enters your life. But the Bible did not say, so the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I continued living so, and there was no satisfaction. I wanted to know God in a real personal way. I went to Sunday school. I would sit down. The preacher said, God is going to take your good deeds and put it in the scale. If your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, well, then you go to heaven. And they will come to this Sunday school. They would never take the Bible and they would read it. No, they never take the Bible. They would come with some current news and tell you about the news, but they were never saved. And in fact, they would come home after they go to church, come home, smoke and drink. But there was a man in our area. He was about 40 years old. And he used to be a very, very wicked man. And he got saved. And I started to compare his life. Because he got saved, he used to stone down people's houses, steal people's chicken, beat up on his wife, beat up on his children, and molest the young girls. So he got saved. And I admire his life. I say, there is a difference. This man has God in him. He would go around the village with Christian literatures, tracts in his hand, and he will be distributing the tracts. And I said, he is saved. I want the God that this man has. So he would come and he would sit down and he would witness to my father. But as children, he would not say anything to us about the Lord. But I was looking at his life. Then he started to have an open-air service with some other Christian brethren. I said, I must go. I told my mother I was going. But in the islands, we do not have open-air meeting around 1 o'clock as we do here, but we have it at the night, like 6, 7 o'clock in the night. And I told my mother I was going. She said, go right ahead. On the way going, there are lots of dogs, but I didn't mind about the dogs. I went and gathered up some of my friends and say, there is an open-air meeting across the road. Let's go. So we all went to the open-air meeting. And for the first time, I heard the word of God preach. I heard that you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to come to know Jesus as your personal savior. And I wanted to get saved, but I was afraid. Afraid, there was a fear in my heart to go forward when the altar call was given. I did not go. But when I was walking down the road with my friends, I said to her, you know, I want to be saved. I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. But I'm afraid to do that. I was afraid to put up my hand to go and give my life over to Jesus. And then she said, I too, you know, I wanted to get saved. But the next time I said, I am going to that church and I'm going to get saved. Now we started a Wednesday night meeting and I decided to go. as usual, I went along and gathered up my friends and said, let's go to the meeting. And I went to the meeting that night. And the preacher was from the States, and he was preaching on hell. And he said, if you die tonight, where would you spend your eternity? My friends, that night, as the altar call was given, I looked on my feet. I could not find one side of my shoe. I did not know what happened, but I knew. I went forward, took the preacher by the hand, and told him I would like to be saved. And he took the word of God, and he showed me how to be saved. And I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. That night when we were going home, a friend of mine turned to me and said, is only now you find God? I mean, you belong to the Presbyterian church already. You get your foundation. You go to school to the Presbyterian school. You get your foundation. Why did you say you're going to be saved? Why did you do that? I said, I want to go to heaven because I thought my goodness would have taken me to heaven. But the Bible says your goodness is just a filthy rags in the sight of God. And I know I want to be saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to die and go to heaven. And we argued a little and talked a little. But then I went home and I started living for the Lord. I was such a witness that I used to go to homes and, you know, rap on doors, open a meeting. I was very active in the ministry of the Lord, and the Lord continued to bless me. One day, while I was sitting down at school and I was about to write my exam, the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, I want you to go to Bible school. Well, I prayed about it. Then I went and told my father. He said, okay, if that's what you want, you go right ahead. So preparation was made. I got my visa. It was difficult. I'm trying to make a long story short because I realized time is on upon us. And he said, okay, so he made preparation. I went to the visa office. They will not give me my visa. But I prayed and prayed. The school sent me a scholarship. So I got a scholarship. And then I went off to Blue Water Bible College in St. Thomas, Virgin Island. I studied there for 3 years, and then I met my husband. That's where we met. But you see, he's a black man, and I'm an Indian. And I know that this wouldn't match. So he came to me and approached me and said, would you marry me? I said, no, that is not going to become a reality. My father and my mother don't believe in racial marriage. And no, I'm not going to pray about it. So every time he see me, he would say, pray about it. And I would say, no, it would never become a reality. Anyway, eventually we started to talk to each other. And whenever we would meet, we would pray. And then the union became, you know, we became closer and closer. And then time for marriage. And I said, yes, but when I wrote my father said to me, if you get married to that guy, you're no longer my daughter. Do not come back to Trinidad. I disown you. I went ahead and I got married to him. And we lived in St. Thomas a little bit after we got married. And then he said, my father wrote me a letter and he said, I am no longer your daughter. Do not ever come back to Trinidad because the doors will be closed. I remember crying because of what my father said. But my husband said, Ruby, don't worry. God is for us. And if God be for you, who can be against you? So we continued. After that a month, we went to Antigua. Time for us to go to Antigua. We did not have anything. We went by faith. Our salary was like £3 a month. We did not have a house to go to. We did not have a bed, nor a stove, nothing. We went by faith and trusted the Lord to supply our every need. I remember when we moved out, we were living first with my sister-in-law and then just for a couple months. And then we decided to move out and go on our own and could do more visiting and thing. because we are closer to a church, that a pastor, he said, Brother Johnson, said to come and work with him and he would help us. Okay, he failed. He said he would not be able to help us, but he came to school and told us that he would be able to give us something. And my dear, we went to this house, and this house, we had to rent this house now, and this house was $50 a month, and we were getting £3. Now, $50 is like £10. £10? So, we decided to rent this house for £10, but we did not have any money. And all we prayed, and the end of the month came when I said to my husband, but look, it is just the end of the month. What are we going to give to the landlord because we owe him for the rent? He said, Ruby, trust in the Lord. Have faith. God will take care of us. I said, but I've been having faith all during the month, and now it's the end of the month, and I've been praying, and there is nothing. He said, Ruby, trust in the Lord. He went out. We did not have any car, any luxury of sort, but he went out. And someone gave him, somebody sent him a check for $40. And there, we got the money to pay our rent. We could not buy bread because, you know, £3. We could not buy food, but I prayed to the Lord. And the Lord took care of us. I have 6 children. They were all raised by faith. I depended on the Lord for everything for these children. For clothes, for shoes, and never go to the store. I've been married now for 37 years. I've never went to the store and buy me a dress. Someone always, God always sends somebody to buy a dress or anything that I need, a shoe. God took care of me. Because you know why? I live by faith. I look to God for everything. One day there was nothing in the house. And my children were hungry. And they said, Mommy, what are we going to do? I said, children, let's gather around and pray. But then my oldest daughter, Sharon, said, but Mommy, how? If we pray to God, how is he going to send the food? From heaven? I said, we are going to trust the Lord. And I prayed, and I left the front door open. I said, Lord, the next person that come in through that door is going to bring something for us to eat. And there was no oil, nothing. In fact, I didn't know what it was. We never had a stove. We had a coal pot. Are you aware of coal pot? It's something made of clay, and you put coals in it. I could not light it. My husband used to start it for me, and so I would get the cooking going, put coals. Every time the coals run out, I'll put the coals to keep it in a flame and get it. Cook anything. I remember that we used to buy chicken. Chicken used to be $1.55 a pound, and I used to use that, cook it every day. Cook, we didn't have no fridge, no soap, but I don't know. But God took care of us. And yes, my children, and then I prayed, and my husband came in. Somebody loaned him a vehicle. He came in, and we opened the door. And my son said, Daddy, you brought us bread. And Daddy said, yes, I did not only bring bread for you, but I bring food for you to eat. See how God is good? When you trust him, oh, he takes good care of you, people. He takes wonderful care of you. And so God took care of that need and helped me with the children and everything. He supplied my need. Then, after my husband pastored the church there for 15 years, the Lord called us to go to Blue Water, not to Blue Water, to Trinidad. So there we are. We left the people of the brethren in Antigua, and we went to Trinidad. When we went to Trinidad now, I went to my father's place. Because, you know, you would go to your father's place. And he knew we were coming. I have 5 brothers and 3 sisters, and they knew that I was coming. And when I went to the airport, Not. I told them I was coming. They would come and visit me. And when I went to the airport, there was nobody there to greet me. My husband took a taxi and went over to my father's home. When I went to my father's home, my father did not want to open the door for us to come in. And we were traveling, flying by the air. And remember, the children, I had 5 little children with me. My father never opened the door. Anyway, I took my brave self and went upstairs. And because he wasn't such a well, and he was living in a 6-bedroom house. He was a very wealthy man. In fact, he was a millionaire. But because of my husband, never wanted to give me anything, nothing he would send for me. Anyway, I went upstairs and I talked to him. He said, "What we came here for? And since you know us, we make no progress in life. All you all do is just preach and tell people about Jesus, and that is all. Materially, you don't have anything." He said, "I don't have any room for you." Oh, I took my 5 children. It wasn't easy. I took my 5 children with me at the same taxi that brought us to his home. I went to my sister's place and I told her the situation. She said, "Okay, stay with me." So we stayed with her for 3 weeks. When the 3 weeks was up, she said, "It's time for y'all to leave." Okay, we left our place and we had no, we were looking for a house. We could not get any house. But there where they sell drugs, a house was offered to us. It was a 1-bedroom house, no bathroom. The bathroom was shaky. The house was like, if you walk, if Enoch was a little baby, walk, he would go through the flooring. The windows were made of cardboard. And our house rent was $500 a month. We stayed there. We stayed there for a year and trusted the Lord. And then someone opened the door for us, and we were able to move from that house after living there for 1 year. And then we went out and we lived in another place, which was a much nicer place. And God, in all and all, what I'm trying to tell you is how God provided for his children. He loves us and he takes care of us. And that's how my ministry was, in serving the Lord, looking to God for everything possible. God has been my supplier and my help. Now, I love the Lord. I love the Lord very much. Even though things are rough, things are tough with us. Presently, my husband, we have an old vehicle, and he has been trying to get that vehicle on the road, and it's giving him a hard time. But, you know, we are quite contented because of the goodness of God and what he has done for us. And I thank the Lord that even though I went through so much, I never give up. I keep on pressing on. And the name of my talk tonight is entitled, "Don't Give Up." No matter what situation, ladies, you're going through. It could be marital problem. It could be domestic problem. It could be problems that, you know, that we face right now. Do not give up. And our scripture verse is taken from Psalm 38, 9 through 16. My eyes, I just cannot see these small words. So you bear with me. You bear with me, ladies. Psalms 38:9-16. We are going to look at the life of David. David went through so much in life, as we see all that David went through. So, have you found the scripture verse? Psalm 138. Will someone please read it? Because I need glasses. So please somebody read it for me. Psalm 38, 138, 9 through 16. We're going to see the challenge here before us, that no matter what you're going through, that God never gives up on his children. Yes, someone stand. Psalm 138, 9 through 16. Oh, 38, Psalm 38, 9 through 16. Oh, my eyes. 38. Okay. Yes, I want somebody to read it.
Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek me hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a dead man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me.
Amen. Right. As you notice in this psalm, psalmist David, you notice what he went through? His friends was against him. Everybody was against him. And you know what? He never gave up. Christians, in the Christian life, many of us, at some point or the other, we tend to give up. We would say, oh my, this life is too rough. I cannot take it. You may say, oh, it have too many problems. I cannot take it. And you may say again, I cannot take it. And David, as we read the scripture, we will see that his friends forsake him. Because you know why? He had sinned against God. Remember when he sinned, committing the sin with Bathsheba? You know, so he think that everybody was against him. And David, in his word, he said he never give up. We throw in the towel and turn to every way from God. We turn away from God. We blame God. We blame God for everything. David was a man after God's own heart. You know that, ladies. David was a man after God's own heart. He had sinned, and now he's reaping the harvest, but he never gave up. Ladies, whatever the situation, though friends may forsake you, though loved ones may forsake you, many may forsake us, and though the enemy may attack us, God never gives up on his children. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never, never give up on you. When we sin, the enemy wants to fight us. He's always waiting for an opportunity. In verse 12, it says that you would think after we have succumbed to temptation, the devil will leave us alone. No. He knows that we are weak and discouraged, so he lays even more snares for us. Ladies, Jesus love you. You must be on the alert. Be on the guard. Be vigilant. The devil is always after us. Because we are his children, he's always after us. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from us. How can we resist the devil? Ladies, let's see. Spend much time with the Lord. Do you spend a lot of time talking to God? It is very, very important. In order for you to resist the devil, you have to be talking to the Lord. Read your Bible. Study God's word. It will help you. When you do this, it will build up your strength. Have a pure mind. He said you must renew your mind. You know, sometimes our mind go astray. There are so many times that our minds go astray. Renew your mind by praying. Renew your mind by reading the word of God. Be constantly in fellowship with the Lord. We need to be constantly fellowship with the Lord. Ladies, I have went through a lot. But as my topic is, God never give up on us. Never give up. Don't matter. God sees your heart. Verse 9 through 15. He knows what you are thinking about. What is in your mind. What you are going through. He loves you. He cares for you. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now there are many people who never give up. When you look at Job and the affliction of Job, his wife even said to him, curse God and die. He lost everything that he had, but he never gave up. He said, I know. Job 19. Verse 21, Job 19, verse 25 to 27, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job really went through a lot, ladies. He even had boils on his skin. He could not even sit down. Can you imagine him having boils all over his body? Lost everything. And then Satan keep on attacking him all the time. But he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He didn't give up. He continued serving his wife, even tell him, curse God and die in a Job. You don't see what you're going through. You're going through a hell. Curse God, man. Curse. Let's give up on God. But what did he say? No. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then let's look at the Apostle Paul. Look how much affliction the Apostle Paul went through. He was beaten. He was laid there to die. So many times he was shipwrecked. But he said, in his in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 8, he said, let's turn to your Bible. Let's see. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to me and on that day and unto all those that look forward for his coming. He said that. You know how much the Apostle Paul went through? Oh my, we wouldn't even go through half of what the Apostle Paul did. Then he said, I have fought a good fight. Then we look at Joseph. The life of Joseph. Joseph never gave up. His brother sold him. And he was there in Pharaoh's palace there. And in that palace, his wife accused him of wanting to lie with him. They put him in prison. They did him so many wrong things. And Joseph never gave up. He continually following the Lord step by step. And the Lord made him king over the palace. And let's look at Daniel now. Daniel, they said to Daniel, you must not pray. But Daniel would pray 3 times a day facing Jerusalem. And even though they said to Daniel, do not pray. You must not pray. The king has made a decree that no, he does not want anybody praying. And just imagine, Daniel continued praying. He never gave up. We should not give up, ladies. Don't give up. If you have sinned, ask God to forgive you. In 1 John 1:9, if you have stumbled and you have fallen, some of you all may be here, but you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't give up. You have given up in many, many things, but do not give up on the Savior. He loves you. He cares for you. I went through a tough time, but you know, I'm still serving the Lord. And I'm so happy that this 43 years that I have been serving the Lord, that no matter how rough the situation is, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I will continue to serve the Lord. And ladies, some of you all may be here, and you may be saying, this Christian life is too hard. It's too hard, man. I don't like how the preacher is doing this. I don't like how the Sunday school teacher is doing that. No. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. He loves you. He cares for you. These men of faith. We see the Apostle Paul. We see Joseph. We see Daniel. We see Abraham. When the Lord told him the only child, he said to him, you must go and sacrifice it. And Abraham did not doubt God. He went ahead and believed God, and the Lord spared his son. So you see, no matter what the situation is, how rough, do not give up on God. God loves you, and God is able to take care of the situation, no matter how rough it is. And those ladies here who are here, do not know Christ, you're missing a lot. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. Remember, he died for you on the cross of Calvary. I told you I've been saved now for 43 years and I have never given up on Jesus, because Jesus will never give up on me. My desire of heart is to continue to live for the Lord. The scripture said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I thank you for listening. I'm sorry I wasn't able to read more scriptures because the print of the Bible is small and I cannot see well. Pray for us as we serve the Lord in Antigua. You may wonder, what do I do during the day? I go to the homes, the old people home, visit them, pray with them, read the Bible. I go sometime with my husband, visiting on the street. And I have a little job that I do. I get £10 a day. I help a lady in tour guide as she has a herbal garden, and I plan when I go back home. I said, Lord, I'm going to devote everything that I have to your service. I'm going to go visiting every day. The job, I'm going to put it aside, and I'm going to trust you to supply my every need. Pray for us, ladies, and thank you so much for listening so attentively. God bless you. Thank you, sister.